Worms! 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 Worms!
Yeah! Yeah!
Yeah!
Yeah! This is Mr. Michael W. Dean, Freedom Fiend, on the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Musical Extravaganza Hours. Mr. Nima Vidotti is on his second to the last Sunday off. Next week is his last Sunday off for paternity. And then he comes back full-time fiending. He's been on Saturdays, but not Sundays for 2 months since Lily June Vidotti was born and whelped wonderfully into this world, screeching at the tyranny of the world. And Nima told a story yesterday about how she expressed her distaste with the doctor the first moment out of her mommy. And you can go listen to that on the Freedom Fiends. Today we have some very special guests. We have Dr. Stephanie Murphy. How you doing there, Dr. Stephanie Murphy?
Hello, Michael W. Dean. I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Yeah, it's the first time I think we've had a doctor on. Kevin McKernan is as smart as a PhD or something, but he learned it. He learned his physics in the tough streets of Boston, I think. And over on the other mic in California, trying to claw his way out of California, Stephanie's in New Hampshire. She's one of them free stater people, them scary free stater people. And over there on the other end, we got...
That's right, toothless and scary.
Yeah, and I'm in. They carry guns and they like flowers in their hair. They carry guns and then they walk around with fuzzy sweaters with autumn leaves in them. That's kind of how I picture New Hampshireites. So that's in New Hampshire, the East Coast, representing the East Coast over there. We got Dr. Stephanie Murphy. And on the West Coast, we could have a good East Coast, West Coast Liberty rap battle here today. We got Mr. Mike Makes Right coming from Pacifica, California. How are you doing there, Mr. Mike Makes Right?
I'm great, Michael. Good to be with you. Good to be with you, Stephanie.
Yeah.
Indeed.
And in the middle corner, weighing 177 pounds at 5'5", we've got Mr. Michael W. Dean. That's me. And yeah. So
I thought you were going to say your cat was weighing 170 pounds at 5'5".
My wife's losing weight and my cat's gaining weight, which if you're going to have somebody doing that, that's the way it should probably be going. And
well, that's like a law of physics.
I'm happy. Matter cannot be destroyed. Energy just, yeah, yeah.
Right.
Man, our cat Charlie, she's like 15 years old, and I think she's got a pound and a quarter for each year or something. It's getting to the point where when she sleeps with me, her snoring will wake me up. And then I have to, and I'm talking about the cat, not the wife. The wife doesn't snore. So I pet the cat with my foot. And then she stops snoring and starts purring, and it fixes it. It's kind of bizarre. Do you guys have cats?
No.
I am super allergic to cats. I love
them,
but they make me sneeze.
Yeah, they'll kill me.
They'll kill you? Man, I'm kind of allergic to cats, and I love them so much I have them anyway, but they won't kill me. Do you fear cats more than you fear wolves, Mike and Stephanie?
It depends on what kind of cat we're talking about. Cats will ruin me. I won't be able to breathe normally for a week if I'm exposed to a cat. So
yeah,
Doug, stay away.
Doug Hilsinger from my band Bomb, and I just like to say the word bomb because, you know, now if you say the word bomb, the NSA like goes and tries to bomb you with a
it's
drone.
One of the buzzwords, right?
Yeah, but I was in a band called Bomb back when, like, you know, when you could say bomb and it didn't mean you were going to be violent, when you could just have a rock and roll band called Bomb like I had. And one of our guitar players, Doug Hilsinger, was so deathly allergic of cats that when we'd tour, you know, we didn't make enough money to go stay in hotels and be cushy and stuff. We were sleeping on floors and couches and the beds of admiring people that met us on tour. And Doug couldn't even come into a house where people had a cat. He would sleep in the van in the winter in Wyoming or wherever. I mean, gosh, man, cats. Can't imagine. Yeah. So Dr. Stephanie Murphy, you're not a medical doctor. What kind of doctor are you?
Oh, that's actually an interesting story.
Yeah,
I have a PhD in biochemistry. I actually was going to school for almost like the last 7 years to become a physician scientist. So I was actually going to become a medical doctor and a science doctor. And the reason I wanted to do that was because I wanted to like cure diseases and stuff. But after a while, I got really jaded and burned out. And I realized that just was not possible. Everything in that industry was just funded by government. And I was working in a workplace that I just wasn't happy in. It was kind of conformist, you know, freedom people were not looked upon kindly, or anybody who thought outside of the box or was kind of a free thinker like myself. So I just really wasn't comfortable with it. So I kind of started thinking about what I could maybe do instead. And in the end, after I finished my PhD, I decided not to finish medical school and I made a career change. And so now I'm a voiceover artist and a radio and podcast host.
Excellent.
totally yeah. overqualified, but a lot happier.
No, you sound really good. You sound better when, I mean, your voice sounds stunning, but we're both talking over a three-way Skype call here today, and that can make things sound a little crunchy. You don't sound bad. I just have to put that asterisk in there because you just said, and I'm available for voiceover work. And if anybody, they might go like, oh, is it going to sound that crunchy? It's barely crunchy, yeah. But you know, I'm just helping you out here.
You will get a creamy radio audio recording if you hire me for a voiceover.
Oh yeah. Yep. Yeah, she, Stephanie and my wife DJ have very similar timbres and mellifluousness to their voices, and to the point where people confuse them. People who listen to Liberty Radio and hear them both on there. I mean, basically, there's three women whose voices you hear on Liberty Radio. There's my wife DJ, who does all of our liners and ads and bumps. There's Stephanie Murphy, who does Sunday nights on Free Talk Live and does her own show. Is it, what's it called now? Did you change the name yet? Your podcast?
Oh, I have so many podcasts that I'm a part of. So
Pork Therapy is the one I mainly know.
Yeah, so Pork Therapy.
Let me finish my sentence, and then we're going to talk about you a whole bunch. And I was going to say, and then there's what's her name? Who's the other lady? I like her, but she's got she doesn't have a mellifluous voice. The other, Liberty
the Quantum
lady.
Vibe singer.
No, that gal's great. I love her.
Yeah, who's Hannah Hoffman.
Okay. She lives in Vermont or New Hampshire.
She lives in New York.
Really?
There's like eight. The statist paradise.
I searched Hannah Hoffman musician and like 80 people came up. Apparently it's a common name for musicians. But yeah, you'll hear a Hannah Hoffman ad in this show. You will hear the Davy Barker Shiny Badges ad. That's her singing a Pete Seeger song with different words in a really, she's a good musician, but I hate her because she's so catchy. But that means that it's great for ads. I don't hate it. Just like my wife cringes after like the third, like you're singing it at work. You're singing it in the shower. She's so catchy. So catchy. So Stephanie Murphy, tell us more about you and I'll just shut up here and play some cat
games. Wait a minute. Was Hannah Hoffman the third woman or were you thinking of someone else?
No, I was thinking of the girl from Connecticut. Gosh, okay. She's on LRN. She has a show, The Blanky Blank Show. It's her name. It's got her name. I'm drawing a brain squeak on this, man. I can't. Did you hear a squeak? There's a brain squeak. Yeah. Oh, come on. You know who I'm talking about. I have to preface that I'm in crunch time on this world changing project that's going to go on forever. That's going to be like almost as big as Bitcoin, and it's related, and it's going to be released to the world open source with an Indiegogo funding Improve It campaign, but it's actually beta. You can actually use it starting tomorrow or the next day, and myself and the guy I'm working on it with, Jeremy, have been working like 20 hours a day on it for a week. I've been sleeping like 4 hours or maybe 6 hours some days, but it's in like 2 hour shifts, then get up and work, then 2 hour shifts and get up and work. So I'm kind of like, if I sound scattered, that's why. I'm in a good mood, but I'm not all here. So, yeah. Yeah?
That's okay. We got your back, Michael W.
Thank you.
Yeah, we got it, man.
Thank you.
Okay, so do you want to hear about my projects?
Yes. Angel Clark is the third woman in Liberty.
That's right. Yes. Oh,
there's Delaware. A bunch of women in Lady. Yeah, there's like eight shows on LRN that are like eight women each, aren't there? Isn't that like the rite of passage? You leave your parents, you move to New Hampshire, you join the Free State Project, and then you start a podcast with three or four women. Right? There's Sex, Lies, and Anarchy. I like them a lot.
A lot
they're,
of people do that. Yeah, a lot of people do that. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, on one hand, you know, there aren't that many women in the liberty movement, so it's nice to highlight the women and it's nice to get them together and say, look, we exist, right? But on the other hand, sometimes it gets kind of old being invited to be on panels and stuff that are like about being a woman. So I always feel proud when I get asked to like host a Bitcoin panel that has nothing to do with being a woman, but
I am a
woman.
We're going to talk about Bitcoin later today. Before the show, we were like, so I bought that Litecoin from you and then it tripled, but I kind of knew it would. And I took advantage of you, Stephanie. And you're like, I don't care. I mined that myself. And you're like, I was like, you should not mine Namecoin because it's going to go up vastly. I happen to know that. And you're like, well, I don't know that it works with the same algorithms. And Mike is like, oh, is it hashing or is it? And it just turned into this like, wow, what radio to cats to liberty to what's going on here today? I don't even know, man. I don't know.
It's Super Bowl Sunday.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
Oh, no.
I didn't know that. That means that the only people listening are weirdos, which is good because we like weirdos. You know, the people who aren't out going. I don't even know who's playing. That's how weird I am.
Well, you know what? You know what's more exciting?
Mike's a jock. Tell us, Mike.
You know what's more exciting than the Super Bowl is the Puppy Bowl. That's what we really should be watching.
Is that today?
Puppies. Yeah, they show. I think
is it on the Super Bowl?
No, it's on another channel, or it might be during halftime.
Is it on Animal Planet?
It's on Animal Planet. That's right, and it's just a bunch of puppies wrestling with each other on a made up little football field, and it's the cutest thing ever.
I have seen that. I've seen it like for 5 seconds on CNN or Fox.
Yeah,
you know,
you can watch it.
Literally
hours.
In the puppy parade. You know they do the 28 minutes of we're all gonna die and the president's gonna take your guns, or we're all gonna die and the president's gonna help you and give you free health care. It's wonderful. He's only gonna take away your guns. And then they have like 1 minute of puppies. And that's how you do news. And they've used the puppy bowl for the puppy parade. Now, the thing I'm happy about is I have radio stations that I've been calling from like 6 months ago who are like, yeah, man, we'd love to put you on, but I got football coming up. So call me the day after the Super Bowl and we'll get you on our station. So good to know, man.
You're ready now.
Yeah. So what else, Stephanie? Tell us more about Liberty.
Oh, okay. So I am a host of a podcast called Let's Talk Bitcoin.
Yay.
And you were talking about Litecoins and Namecoins, but people probably maybe have heard of Bitcoin. And if you haven't, it's really cool. It's an upgrade to money for the 21st century in a world where we can send an email from one person to another anywhere on the planet and nobody can tell us, no, you can't do that. You know, they might read it, but they can't tell you, no, you can't send that email, right? Why can't we do that with money? And
we can
now with Bitcoin and other altcoins, so-called, that are similar to Bitcoin.
The Freedom Fiends take Bitcoin, and you take Bitcoin for donations and sales and things and ads. Yeah. Dobby Barker's paying for his ads that are coming up pretty soon here in Bitcoin. And we'll be back with more after this trip to the real market on the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. That proves you're smarter than most people.
This is Nima Vedati from the Freedom Fiends. Using government-printed funny money fuels and encourages wars abroad, and the wars at home against you and all you hold dear. Why should you remain beholden to self-appointed federal kings who don't care if you starve in a cage? Become your own king today by owning gold and silver from Midas Resources. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Midas Resources banner over on the right, or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
Hey, there's some Squisklar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now. So there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks, you can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Yeah, we're back. Yeah, we're back on the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Musical Show. So I guess the topic today is cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin. So, Mike, you had a question about Namecoin?
Yeah, I'm wondering how exactly it works. I get the whole idea of a domain name service, but I'm wondering if you are a node on the network and you're running the Namecoin client, are you part of the network? In other words, are you the one, is your computer resolving IP addresses to domain names?
Yes, but well, let's not talk about what I'm coming out with tomorrow yet, but in general, when you're using .bit, which is a decentralized kind of top-level domain like .com, .net, et cetera, that you can't view unless you change things on your computer previously. You know, you have to change your DNS settings. And it hasn't really caught on, and we're coming out with something that's going to make it come on. And Namecoin's price will probably go up when this goes out. So, but to answer your question, do you become a server on it when you're using it? Not in the sense of, what was that thing, Darknet, or, you know, not in the sense that Tor, I don't even think Tor works that way. There was something that people used, you know what I'm talking about, Mike, years ago, mm-hmm. where like each person became kind of a peer-to-peer passing the thing on. It was kind of like an early pre-Tor thing, like 10 years ago. Mm-mm. It's not like that. It works through the blockchain. Like, basically, it's a blockchain system similar to Bitcoin. But just picture that, like, it has a database function in it that resolves a domain name to an IP address, you know. So if right. if you want to set up a .bit address, you know, you register mikemakesright.bit or whatever, and you point when you register it, or when you make a payment to the system of 0.005 of a name coin, and that's actually destroyed when it's done. So it encourages people to keep mining it. So but it has a much larger amount that it can be mined than Bitcoin. But basically, you're sending two things to the whole blockchain, to everybody who's downloading it, and one is this domain name, and the other is this IP address. So and these name servers. So people can surf it from that blockchain because everybody has it. And like, let's say your web host where your files are gets shut down. You just move it to another web host and make another, you know, 0.005 Namecoin transaction to the system and put a new IP address in it. And within about a half hour, everyone worldwide will be able to see it. It updates, the domain's updated in like a half hour instead of like 2 to 3 days. And there are a lot of other advantages too, like security advantages. It prevents hijacking of domains. The thing is, it just hasn't had much adoption yet because it's been technically hard to use. But what we're coming out with is an as of yet unnamed, or I can't say it publicly, system for doing that with a plugin. It's going to make it seamless.
That sounds cool.
And then he's doing a lot of improvements on the whole system and on Namecoin in general. We're doing an Indiegogo campaign for it. And it's going to change the world. It really is. I mean, the thing that this is lacking, it was lacking a plugin. Now it has a plugin, so you don't have to be smart and know how to change DNS settings and have admin privileges. This doesn't require that. If you can add a plugin, you can run it. The main thing that's lacking, and this is why I'm in the project, even though I'm not a programmer, is adoption. And I am going to help get this adoption to the world because, you know, it's kind of like Bitcoin. Like when it first came out, a Bitcoin was worth 10 cents because it wasn't widely adopted. It's the fax machine problem. You know, one fax or the fax machine idea, the one fax machine is worthless. They're each worth something. 2 million of them, they're each worth a lot because there's more people that can use it with you.
Right. The network effect or the tipping point that it needs to reach.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's exciting because it means that something like the Pirate Bay, which if your listeners don't know, is a website where you can find torrents, and they're constantly getting shut down. And what they do is they move to another country. Apparently, the whole site is like 500 megabytes.
Is it really? It's that small? Because it's just text files. It's the same idea. It's a text pointing to something. You know, it's a similar idea.
So this would solve that problem because...
I don't know. Yeah, it would, but I can't.
It sounds like it would.
It would, but I don't want to... yeah, sure. I guess technically... What's Pirate Bay? Never heard of it. No. You know, I'm making a point of like not I think that I don't want to encourage any illegal behavior because that's probably illegal behavior, and I don't encourage anyone to do anything. So I don't know what people do, but what does Pirate Bay do when they get shut down? Do they tweet their new domain, or how do they do it?
I think a Google indexes it very quickly. It's bizarre, but you know, they're on top of it. So if you search in Google, you will see it went from piratebay.de, which is like Denmark, and then
A way to set up a WordPress blog even so it pings everybody when you put something up. Like when I put something on my blog, in 10 minutes you can search a unique phrase from it on Google and I'm the first hit on it. Where even some like commercial sites take a day for that. We'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends after this.
Listening to Freedom Fiends, not your grandpa's talk radio.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Michael Dean of the Freedom Fiends. We have breaking news. I say with hand on heart and a heavy head, yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is true. Philip Seymour Hoffman was found dead on a pile of Bitcoin with many cats chewing on him. No, I don't know what happened, but he passed away. Hey, we want to die like we live. Like yesterday, we did an obit for someone I actually know, which was our state rep, one of the state reps here, Sue Wallace, who died under mysterious circumstances, and she had a lot of enemies in politics and other places here, and it's kind of weird. But we read some of her poetry about the joys of democracy, and kind of made fun of them yesterday. It's the joys of being in the legislature. She wrote poems about that, and we laughed at it and made fun of it. And you know, I got criticized heavily for that. But Sue Wallace, I liked her. She was a libertarian leaning Republican, whatever that is. You know, she was a Republican in the reddest state in the union, who was constantly trying to legalize pot, legalize gay marriage, legalize raw milk, and get rid of any kind of gun control. That's my kind of Republican, if you're going to be a Republican or a politician at all. But
how did that go for her, though? Was she
Man. I mean, you know, the headline was she was found dead. You know, not many people that are in their mid-50s are found dead, especially when they have a long enemies list. And but you know, people got on my case for that yesterday. Like, hey, I made a joke. Like, she lived in Recluse, Wyoming, which is a population 15. And I was like, wow. The second time I said it, I said, yeah, she's from. And today we're talking about Recluse, Wyoming, population 14. People got on my case about that on the internets after the show. But you know what? When I die, all I can hope is that somebody remembers and gets on the radio and thinks maybe the government killed me and then makes fun of one of my poems. That is the best eulogy you could have, man. Booyah. So Stephanie,
I'll make sure to do that.
Yeah. 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 Hey, Brad, if I die, Mike can call in GCN. I'll give him the number. He can do my show If Nima's not around, or you could do it with Nima. I'm giving you permission now to have Mike and Stephanie, if they want, do the show after I die. And I would love it if they just got on and talked about how maybe the government had me killed and then make fun of one of my poems. That's a perfect eulogy, man.
You got it.
So,
or you could fake your own death. You could do like a Tupac thing.
No, man. No. No. I don't want to do that. So do you guys want to talk about Philip Seymour Hoffman or Bitcoin? What's the topic going to be? Or both.
I want to talk about Bitcoin.
Go ahead. Talk about Bitcoin, Stephanie. Dr. Stephanie Murphy, go.
Well, you were talking about Namecoin before, and do you guys remember that whole thing with the ICANN with Ron Paul was saying that the UN should take over the ICANN or something like that?
Yeah, that was very unlike what I thought would come out of Ron Paul's mouth. And, you know, like I said, like even the best libertarian Republicans act really, really statist and kind of use government guns and aggression once in a while. I do remember.
Yeah. Well, there's no reason that the ICANN has to exist. I mean, if Ron Paul knew about Namecoin, he could have just said, this doesn't need to be centralized at all.
Well, but somebody could already have ronpaul.bit, and they probably would. Here's my experience with it. I'm an evangelist for this, and I've been cyber squatted on it. Freedomfiends.bit, somebody registered a year ago. And,
no way.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I don't know who it was. There's no website there, so I can't see. But I don't know. So I went and got fiends.bit, which is actually shorter and easier to remember. So that's my solution with that kind of stuff is why have such a marriage to this, to your name? Even if it's your name, you know, I mean, like there's people who like I remember my friend Helios Creed, who's kind of a big, weird underground rock star back in the 80s. And, you know, somebody had HeliosCreed.com and wanted, you know, $100,000, and he didn't have that. He was living in a school bus. But he just got the real HeliosCreed.com or something like that. You know, why be married to that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I was trying to build a voiceover website when I was starting up my voiceover business really seriously. And I couldn't get like Stephanie Murphy. Like I couldn't get what I wanted. And
it's a common name.
I got smvoice.info.
Ooh.
And that actually worked out really well because I can say it quickly and people can hear it and remember it.
And it has a double entendre.
Yeah, that's just my initials.
I didn't get that for a second, too.
Yeah. That reminds me of another podcast that used to happen about 5 years ago that some people I know did. Something about coffee and submission. I don't remember what it was, but
that was very popular until the Christians took it down.
Huh? Yeah, off of iTunes. That's another thing. Like, you know, why iTunes is good. I want to, we have all our stuff on there, but why put your whole, like, I don't give the iTunes URL out. Mm. I give my URL out because iTunes can take you off. You know, why do people, first of all, trust central scrutinizers, you know, central experts on something that should be distributed, and then why do they get upset when it's not treated like it's distributed, you know?
Oh yeah, you know, Michael, I wanted to get your opinion on this. Did you hear a while ago, a couple weeks ago, Amazon was taking down Bigfoot erotica from their website?
I don't know what that is. Do you mean the creature, like
people? There were people writing
50
erotic
shades
stories
of Sasquatch. Yes, exactly. I mean, is it really zoophilia if it's, you know, that's cryptozoophilia. It's it's erotic books
exist.
About, yeah. Oh, right. They might, though. You know, if you call in on most radio stations, like, 12 and a half hours from now, there's a show on that goes from like midnight to six on every station in America, where they would really argue with you if you called in and said that those things don't exist. But, you know, I'm starting another show called Michael Dean After Dark in early March on Genesis Communications Network. And it's going to be 11, it's going to be midnight to 2 Central Time, Monday through Thursdays live. And then it's going to be a best of on Friday. And then I'm doing the Freedom Fiends on Saturday and Sunday. I'm going to be on 6 days a week making no money. So if you want to make a donation, you know, I'm not making much money yet. We have 2 paid advertisers. We'd like to sell more ads, $200 a month. Nobody gives their ad prices out on the air. We will. $200
so
a month.
So you just want to talk about Bigfoot?
No, I want to talk about me. And what has Bigfoot done for me lately? No, so what? Did you want to talk about Bigfoot? Oh, well, like Amazon
I'm
took
just
it down.
There's,
yeah.
this woman was interviewed in the piece that I was reading, and she was saying that she basically was getting to the point where she was making almost a full-time income from writing these stories. And then Amazon took it down because they were getting complaints from like religious groups and, you know, the Parents Television Council and all those groups.
Is one of the books called, is one of the characters in the books named Really Harry Potter?
No, but that would be a great one.
Yeah. So I guess we should talk about libertarianism. We haven't done that yet. And we're almost halfway through the show. And, you know, really like all the time, usually on The Fiends, we're just complaining about the government. And I want to invite you to be a guest host, you know, some night on that nighttime show there, Stephanie. I don't know if you're up then. Will you be?
Oh, yeah. I'm totally up. I'm on the self-employment schedule
really?
Now. So well, anytime you want me to come on your show.
I'm going to type you into my list. So far, I have 5 rotating co-hosts. You are going to be in there. All right. I asked you. I got a commitment. I got proof on the air. No, it's not a contract. And that's the thing. What I wanted to get into is we believe in contracts, but we don't believe in contracts people are forced to sign. And there really isn't a free market. Amazon is about the closest thing there is to a free market in the world right now that's big, I would say. You know, people always say, well, without government regulation, in a libertarian, you know, if you're in a libertarian paradise, it'd be like Somalia. There'd be guns everywhere. People would be getting shot. There'd be no government. First of all the guns in Somalia were provided mostly by America. Secondly, they have a government. It's a failed socialist state. And then with a bunch of competing warlords, mostly backed by JSOC, which is part of the U.S. military. That's not a libertarian paradise. But in a libertarian paradise, you know, people think it'd be like all those 70s anti-utopia sci-fi shows where you'd be trading oppressive governments for oppressive mega corporations. I don't think that's true. I know that isn't true. And I can say you would not have corporations per se, because that's a fiction created by being backed with government guns. But I think you could still have big business and it would be ethical. Google used to be ethical. Their motto used to be Google, do no evil. And then it became like the joke is a few years later, it became evil is hard to define. And then now their motto should be Google. We build robots for the military, because they do.
Right.
So, you know, but I really think Amazon is the closest thing to what the free market would be without any government regulation. Although they still have to deal with government regulation. Like, I make money from Amazon click-throughs, and a lot of people do. And there's people that make a living at it, that work at it. And everybody in California lost their living doing that for about 6 months because some politicians signed with a pen somewhere that, well, the taxes are going to have to change, blah, blah, blah. Without the government, Amazon wouldn't care. But Amazon was like, it's too hard to comply. It's going to cost too much. They stopped providing that wonderful service for the residents of California. So, yeah, man, competition, good. Government forced competition, bad. Go, Stephanie.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I just like to live my life in such a way that I'm interacting with everybody in a voluntary way, you know, and who could argue with that, right? Like, would you prefer to go around being forced and coerced to do stuff you don't want to do and live your life for other people?
No,
of course not. But that's what the way a lot of people do end up living their lives, unfortunately, whether it's because we're kind of told that that's a good thing from the time we're little kids going to government school or what. But
have you been railing against authority since you were a little kid like I have? I got in trouble in kindergarten for defying the teacher. And it wasn't just throwing a tantrum like little kids do. It was like, you're wrong. And that's not true what you said about the planet Saturn. And why do I have to go play now? I want to sit here and keep reading this book about Saturn, because I want to actually learn something unlike everyone else in this room. And I got in trouble for that kind of stuff.
Well, you know, I grew up in like the 80s and 90s, and that was kind of the heyday of Ritalin, and it was starting out. And
I missed that. I was born in 64. I missed that.
Yeah.
I was hyperactive a few years too early to get drugged, and I was born 7 months too late to end up with thalidomide. So I missed.
Oh,
I was in this little window of children not being destroyed by drugs.
Yeah, right place, right time, for sure. But like, I saw that happening around me. I saw a lot of girls and boys getting put on Ritalin, and they were all saying, I hate this stuff. It makes me feel horrible. I have to take it, but I don't want to. And I was scared that that would happen to me, honestly. So I kind of went, you know, I kind of played like, I knew how to play the game, right? And, yeah. and to be nice. And but inside, I was like, yeah, stick it to the man.
Yeah, not me, man. We'll be back with more for hour two of the Freedom Fiends. This is Michael W. Dean. We have Dr. Stephanie Murphy and Mike Makes Right, and it's a very feisty, fun show. I'd like to have both of you on in the middle of the night sometime on Michael Dean after
Mark. That sounds good.
That's my feistiest. That's why I'm doing it. All right.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Federal Reserve notes only have value because of a collective hallucination, whereas gold and silver are real, and so is their value. Gold and silver predate government-printed funny money, and they will undoubtedly outlive government-printed funny money. Get some gold and silver into your hands from Midas Resources by going to freedomfiends.com right now and clicking on the Midas Resources banner over on the right. Or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges start a conversation with your neighbor or your doctor or your family or your school. Now there's teachers and lawyers and business executives, and they all wear shiny badges and they all reject the state. Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges show the world that you reject coercion and aggression and oppression by the state. Shinybadges.com.
Yeah, this is Mr. Michael Dean on the Freedom Fiends, and Philip Seymour Hoffman. Philip Seymour Hoffman is dead. He was found dead with a syringe of heroin still, a heroin syringe still in his arm. That's man. You know, he was. I liked his acting. I mean, he was. I didn't like him as a person. He was as a pundit or whatever. He was one of those Hollywood liberal elites, more or less. But you know, like Bill Buford said last week, he said, if I only listened to musicians whose politics I liked, I'd only own like two CDs. And I said, yeah, I feel that way about movies. And, you know, if I only liked movies that were made by people whose politics I liked, I'd own like four movies and I would have directed all of them, which is what I said. So
what is it with Hollywood types and being uber lefty? Is it because they really believe that, or is it because it looks good for PR? It looks good for some kind of street cred.
How you work there. There's like four, there are like four out Republicans in Hollywood, and they're all like so old and huge stars that they can get away with it. It's like, I think is De Niro. I don't remember if De Niro is, but I know
Vince
that
Vaughn
Vince Vaughn, definitely. He's a libertarian though.
Yeah.
You know, they're also confused statists. They're like, well, I'm in the Liberty, so I have to vote. And I don't get these people like, oh, you know, Dirty Harry. What's his name? I love him. Oh, I love his act. I love that guy. Clint Eastwood. You know, he's a libertarian, and he said things that are straight up libertarian. And then he like backed Romney because he's like, Obama's so horrible, you have to back a Republican. He's better than no, he's not.
It's at that least, old binary thinking. You know, the lesser of two evils. It's got to be one guy or the other. And it's too bad.
Hey,
I think you'd be smart enough to figure it out.
I really say it. You know, if you don't vote, it's the only people you can. Those are the only people that can complain. That's what I think.
Right.
If you don't vote,
right,
you can complain. But you know, I really think that I'm really glad Obama is president instead of Romney. I am horrified by Obama. But if Romney had won, he's basically Obama with an R after his name. In every platform across the way, he's not even like George Bush. But I think if he'd won, gridlock would have stopped in Congress. They would have been like, "Oh, there's a Republican trying to put tyranny through. Hey, we'll vote on that. Sure, you know." I think a Democrat is good, because if you're going to have a statist right now, a horrible tyrant running your life and putting a boot on your neck through the government and all its various tendrils, I think Obama's your man, and I think Hillary's going to be your lady coming up here soon, because you know it's going to be Hillary versus like Jeb Bush or who's the guy that looks like a soprano? Yeah, Chris Christie.
Right.
You know, I don't even know any. I'm so out of the loop, like almost like the Super Bowl.
I'm so cool. I'm so anarchist. I don't even know. Yeah, that is cool. Actually, I'm kind of envious of you. Like, I'm aware. I have a Twitter. I read Twitter, though.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I read Twitter, too. But I don't read political stuff on Twitter because it just doesn't make me happy. Like, I made a conscious decision to kind of unplug from news and stuff a while ago, and I feel so much better for that.
Yeah, I've done the same thing. And you know what's interesting is that now I get my news kind of the same way like I get my Justin Bieber news. I'm in the supermarket at a store.
You hear it made fun of on The Simpsons, and then you know the topics are.
Passing. I am also tuned out of politics willfully so. But it's impossible to escape completely. It's out there. There's nothing that you can do. It worms its way into your life, whether you want it or not.
Yeah, Stephanie only goes on Twitter for her 50 Shades of Grey ladies sewing circle book study group.
That's right.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Hey, I'm a member of that group.
Yeah, but as Michelle, ladies. You're Michelle because it's the internet and no one knows you're a cat.
Exactly.
That's right. I was going to say, like, if something really important happens, you're going to hear about it anyway. So there's not really a need to, like, be glued to the news, you know?
Right. I don't know, man. I live in a cave. I mean, I don't live in a cave, but if I didn't want to know about what was going on, I could not. I work at home. I work on the internet. I often turn off email. I often don't check messages. I'm often working on stuff to send out later or working on stuff that's in one direction. Oh, speaking of not being one direction, we're going to take phone calls in the second hour. The second hour, which starts at 6 minutes after. I'll give out the number now so people can write it down and think and have something cogent and thought out and have some bullet points instead of just rambling like sometimes callers do. The number to call in 7 minutes is 1-855-660-4261. That'll be the Freedom Fiends call-in number. If you want to call in after a couple minutes of commercials and get on hold and get ready, that's 1-855-660-4261 on the Freedom Fiends. That's 1-855-660-4261. Worms. No, it doesn't spell worms. It does not spell worms. But worms. Say worms, Stephanie.
Worms. Worms.
Say worms, Stephanie.
Worms.
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 Grandpa's worms on the Freedom Fiends. Yeah. Say worms.
Worms. Worms. Worms.
Worms.
Worms. Worms.
Freedom Worms on the Freedom Fiends.
And don't be cutting.
I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and I love the Plume Room nicotine liquid for all my e-vaping pleasure.
And I'm DJ Dean, the fiend behind the scene. We exclusively use the Plume Room Artisan e-liquid. The Plume Room vape juice is made lovingly in America by the talented mad mixtress Andrea. It's not mass-produced or stored in stockpile. The Plume Room has 25 flavors, and almost a third of them are Spin Fuel Award winners.
Tell them the Fiend sent you and use the discount code VAPE2014 to get 10% off at theplumeroom.com. That's theplumeroom.com.
This is Mr. Michael Dean of the Freedom Fiends in hour two of our talk radio musical extravaganza. I'm over here in the Wormabago, bumping around Wyoming, and over there on the right coast. But she's not a right winger. We got Dr. Stephanie Murphy. How you doing, Dr. Stephanie?
Hey, not right winging.
Good. And over on the left coast and not left wing, we got Mr. Mike Makes Right. What's the weather like there today, Mike?
It's rainy, and I am not left. Either.
Cool. Well, we got a couple things. One is I just got an email from a fan named Iva who's listening in Croatia, or she might be in Italy. She's Croatian but lives in Italy, or vice versa. She looks one and is the other. I don't know. I think they a lot of people go back and forth. You know, it's like people in Massachusetts going to shop in New Hampshire because lower taxes or something. So, yeah, she wrote me and she said, Dr. Stephanie Murphy is amazing, or Dr. Murphy is amazing. So,
thank you. Yep. Thank you, Iva. Yep. Wow, she's listening all the way from Croatia. That's cool.
Yeah, you probably have a picture of her. She's on the Freedom Fiends button. She's the gal wearing the shirt that says Freedom Fiend on the Freedom Fiends buttons.
She's so beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. Which you can buy by going to freedomfiends.com and clicking on the link that says buttons up at the top. And the other news that I have, I'm going to give out the phone number here. The phone number is, if you want to talk to any of us, is 1-855-660-4261. That's 1-855-660-4261. But I have some news here, you know, like the baseball player who's going to hit it out of the park for the little sick boy listening on the radio in the hospital. I just talked to Ben Stone, the bad Quaker, who's listening to us on the radio in the hospital in Alabama. And he has suffered a bout of, he couldn't come into work because he had a touch of congestive heart failure. No, he had congestive heart failure, which is really serious. But he's stable, doing well, not in pain. I saw pictures his wife sent me. He's in good spirits. And we love Ben.
And yes, we do.
We want to wish him goodness and everything. So talk about Ben Stone and how he's been an influence on each of you. You go first, Mike.
Well, I remember when his podcast first started, and it was definitely a sort of a different thing in the Liberty community, because he talked a lot about history and talks a lot about history. And, you know, everybody uses the best argumentation for why the state is immoral, and that's all great. But it's also it's interesting to put stuff into historical context. And Mr. Ben Stone does that fantastic. And of course, there's his whole synopsis on the difference between the state and the government. And I always thought that was really a keen insight. So it's fantastic here that he's doing better, and get well soon, Ben. We love you.
Yeah, absolutely. Stephanie, what are your reflections and thoughts and goodness about, and this sounds like a eulogy. No, man, he's alive and he's listening yes. to us, and he's going to stay alive, and he's going to bury all of us because he is kind of like Rasputin. You know, Rasputin, when they killed him, like he looks like Rasputin, but Rasputin, you know, Rasputin allegedly, you know, that when they tried to kill him, they like drowned him, poisoned him, stabbed him, shot him, strangled him, and threw him into an icy river, and he swam out of the river
merely a flesh wound.
Yeah, it's just a flesh wound, like on the Knights Who Say Knee. Yeah, but Ben has had like, I don't know, 20, 30 something concussions. Ben has been shot. Ben has also had a gun pointed at him in aggression 4 or 5 times. He's been shot once, and he's been shot at once by someone who fired 6 shots from a revolver at him from 25 feet away and missed every time. It was kind of like in Pulp Fiction, but it was further, so it made sense. Yeah, man, he is the Rasputin of liberty. Yep.
Yeah. I'm glad he's around, and I'm glad he's around and kicking. And I know you don't just get a touch of congestive heart failure. So yeah. Ben, we hope you're doing well. And, you know, I have to tell a story. The first time I met Ben in person was at Porkfest, Porkfest is the Porcupine Freedom Festival. Woo-hoo! It's kind of like libertarian camp for a week. You know, you go out in New Hampshire and camp out.
You shoot guns and you have orgies. That's what I hear.
Well, I haven't done either of those at Porkfest yet, but there's still time. At Porkfest is the keyword. Anyway.
And I'm not being prurient. I'm just saying what I've heard. I don't go there. I'm too old. No, I don't. I go there. Ben went there. Maybe he caught congestive heart failure there from
guns and orgies. Yeah, there's cooties you can get at Porkfest for sure.
I'm kidding. Cooties. Yeah.
Go the Porkfest cooties.
Go
anyway,
on.
So the first time I met him was at Porkfest, and I want to say it was 2010, maybe. He loves Porkfest. He goes up like a week early and just camps out for an extra week because he just loves it that much.
He and his wife are like the mystery machine. They drive around, they spend the winters driving around in a van solving mysteries, is what I say. They actually drive around in a Winnebago. And I say I drive around in a Wormabago, but I don't. I just want to say it's not a fib. I'm not lying to the listeners. It's a joke. I have never done this show from anywhere other than my bedroom in Casper, Wyoming. I say I'm in all these places. I'm just where I want it, where I'd like to go if I like leaving the house. That's all. But he actually goes. Right.
He does. Yeah. And that's a great life. I mean, camping, you can't beat it. Anyway, so I met him at Porkfest a couple of years ago, and it was really, really hot that year. It was 95 degrees during the day, which is hot. You know, you think in New Hampshire, you're thinking glaciers and ice, but it's actually pretty hot sometimes in the summer.
Well, something had to form all that granite and maple trees. It was the heat.
That's right. It's spontaneous generation. Comes from the heat. Science.
Yeah, good science.
Anyway, so there's a room that we do all the radio shows from at Porkfest.
Yeah.
The internet connection there isn't too good. You know, it's we got to like dial up on a phone line, which is like, I thought I'd never
see
that.
Well, Free Talk Live has the old school Comrex gear that they only, you know, they have the same thing I have. They have the rack mount, the better than I have for, you know, connecting to do the show. But they have the one that's for dial up level connections that they bring that like everybody else who has one of these things, they're in a scrap heap somewhere. But Free Talk Live are smart. They never throw a gear away. Everything's for liberty. Ian saved his old tiny, like, you know, Alexander Graham Bell 1980s Comrex unit, and he sounds pretty good. It's not as good as when you're in the studio, but it sounds pretty good. And that's another thing about your state and liberty is there's all these shows and they all sound great, and it's they're not all like reading my creamy radio audio blog and doing it themselves like I do. They all just go to Ian's house and sit in his studio and do them, right?
Totally.
Except
yes.
For you do yours from home, right? Because you live in Hangover.
Yes, and there's also the Manchester, New Hampshire studio where Flaming Freedom broadcasts from. They've got Dale's got his own studio too.
Yeah, but and we make it sound like these are like, you know, 7-story buildings with a staff and receptionist. No, it's Dale's bedroom, right?
It's his attic. Actually, he has a cool setup. Like you walk up to the fourth floor. He's got like a multi-level thing. So not quite a bedroom, but it is like an attic.
So if they ever sell the house, would it be listed as in the real estate guide as a 4-story anarchist walk-up?
Yes, I would want to buy that. That would be enough.
Sounds
to
Parisian, man. Sounds like a place you'd find Philip Seymour Hoffman with a pile of Bitcoin and a needle full of crocodrill in his neck.
Oh, jeez.
Crocodile. Yeah,
anyway,
go on.
I gotta finish this story.
Go ahead. So, I'm thinking. I'm not interrupting. This is parenthetical, conicentric talk, man. Go, Stephanie. Go.
Well, this is great. This is awesome. So at Porkfest, it was really hot, 95 degrees, and there's this little shack that we do all the radio shows from. And I was in there during the middle.
Oh,
of the
so
day,
it's is it a radio shack?
Yeah, it's okay. A radio shack.
Go on. I'm so old, I remember when Radio Shack sold radio equipment. Now, I went in there one day to ask for a resistor, and the guy, like, the pimply-faced teen was like, and he showed me a Razor cell phone. I was like, no, that's not a resistor. Okay, go on.
Oh, jeez. So I'm in this Radio Shack, and it's just hot as heck, you know? Like, I'm sweating, trying to do... No, I couldn't even do that. It was... You know, there were some people at Porkfest who probably wouldn't appreciate that, and I wasn't exactly interested in doing it. But man, it was hot.
I heard that there are people who go there, and then they're like, I'm a libertarian, but there's just too much weirdness there. I'm never going back.
Yeah, I mean, some people there, like, they want to make it a family event or whatever, and so, okay.
So Porkfest is basically Woodstock for people who understand economics, but without, there is no bands, or not many bands.
In some ways, yeah.
Go on.
So it was really hot in there, and it was just uncomfortable doing the show. You know, you got headphones on, your ears are sweating. It's really bad when your ears are sweating. And so Ben comes up, and he goes, hey, totally unsolicited, he goes, hey, I have a fan. I was wondering if you want to borrow my fan. And he brings out this Ionic Breeze type of fan.
That's the kind of fan you want at Porkfest. You know, we all have lots of fans because we're on radio, but none of them just blow on us or fan us. I would like that. I would like, well, there would have been a time in my life when I had fans that would, I was dating 7 girls at once when I was in a rock band and I was signed to Warner Brothers. And I'd have 2 or 3 of them come over and, you know, literally one time I had them on my birthday, you know, other things happened, but I had 2 of them fan me with palm fronds while one of them peeled grapes and popped in my mouth. It was fun, man.
Great memory.
But I think these days I'd much rather have Ben Quaker show up with an Ionic fan.
Well, he did. It was like an angel appearing from the clouds. Exactly. I was hearing the sound effects in my head. He just comes over completely out of the blue, unsolicited, and says, hey, I'd like to lend you my fan. And he's got this real calming voice. Hey, how you doing? Give you my fan.
He's not just the Rasputin of liberty. He's the, I don't know, who has a calming voice? Gandhi? No. He's kind of like Gandhi, but he's like Gandhi with a gun. That's how I describe Ben Quaker. Ben Stone, Gandhi. The bad Quaker. Yeah. So go on.
And it was such a relief. He plugged it in, and for the rest of the week, all these radio shows that were holed up in the Radio Shack doing their shows were making use of his fan Ionic, and feeling and
not,
so much more
they're
comfortable.
They're not loud, Ionic fans, right? Like, this is
it was silent.
This is my heater. You know, I turn on my little heater. Like, you can hear that now. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. There you go. So, yeah, they're good for radio. Yeah, Ben has the best stuff, too. You know, Ben gives me a lot of relief, too. I've never met Ben, but he's one of my best friends in the world. He's got an open invitation to come out here and spend a week, him and Cindy, in the Wormabago, whenever they want, in our home.
You feel calmer when you're around him. You feel like you're automatically just relaxed, and he's just such a cool person, and, you know, that fan stayed there all week, and somehow he forgot to take it when he left or something like that, or we forgot to return it to him from the Radio Shack, and it was still there the next year. So he's permanently immortalized in Porkfest fame in the Radio Shack with his Ionic fan that he donated.
There are people who are right now living in Massachusetts in 11th grade writing papers for their public school about how great Hillary Clinton is. And in 2 years, they're going to become libertarians, move to New Hampshire, start a radio show, and use that fan, and they'll never know the story of where it came from. They'll even know who Ben Stone is, but they won't know it's his fan blowing on them. We'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the real market.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
Do you want to raise your children outside of the government indoctrination camps that are today's public schools? Check out the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right of freedomfiends.com. The Ron Paul Curriculum is a liberty-based K-12 homeschool course. It covers history, liberty, geography, math, science, and free market economics. Kindergarten through 5th grade are free. Then it's only $250 per family per year. Click on the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
This is Dr. Michael Dean, MD. Dr. Michael Dean, MD. I'm not a doctor. I just play one on the radio. As Michael Dean, MD. And we have a real doctor in the house, Dr. Stephanie Murphy, PhD. How are you doing there, Stephanie?
Great.
Cool. And we got Mike Makes Right, who actually does a lot of fitness stuff. I'm very involved in fitness and health, too. I read about it on the computer while I'm sitting in the chair all the time. But these two people actually do some physical fitness. And I asked Stephanie about it during the break. And she, for the first time ever, sounded like a Valley girl. She has never, she's the opposite of Valley girl. But I was like, so do you work out, right? And she said, you said, oh yeah, I do some yoga and I work out. Like you made a sentence into a, you went up at the
it was
end.
That upward inflection.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So talk a little bit about what you do. Everyone's heard about what Mike does, but you two talk amongst yourselves about health. You go first, Stephanie, please.
Oh, well, I actually have a history of when I was a kid and a teenager, I was really overweight. And about in 2002, I was about 18 years old. I moved out of my parents' house. So I had the opportunity to kind of like change my eating habits. And I started reading about like the Atkins diet. I found out about low carb diets back then. This was like the heyday of the Atkins day. This was when everybody was saying, oh yeah, buy egg futures because they're going to go up because everybody's going to be eating eggs and bacon.
Buy bit eggs.
I remember that.
Bit eggs.
I remember it too. And for a while, it was, really starting to catch on. And so I said, you know, like, this sounds really cool, but I'm kind of skeptical. So I read about it some more. And then from a scientific standpoint, it made sense. So I kind of decided to try it, lost a bunch of weight, started working out.
But Atkins is poisoning your body, isn't it? I mean, it's making it do things it shouldn't do. Isn't ketosis, like, when you're dying, you get that?
There's some argument over that, but
often confused with a different thing called ketoacidosis, which happens to diabetic people. But ketosis is just the state of burning fat, basically.
Okay.
So you're switching to a metabolism that is more geared towards burning fat than carbohydrates. So that's really all it was. And it actually worked really well for me. And, several years later, fast forward about a decade, paleo diet was starting to catch on. So I started reading about that. And it's not that different from eating low carb, except that you're really trying to cut out certain foods that maybe don't work so well with human biology, like, gluten and legumes and beans and dairy products. So I sort of made the switch to paleo eating, and that's my diet right now.
Yeah.
What's okay going there, on buddy? Over there?
Oh, I'm trying to. This is a teaching hospital. I decided that I want to do the rest of the show horizontal, so I'm getting out a 25-foot mic cable here so I can lie on the bed and be real mellow and laid back. And that was nice. Mr. Lysander Spooner with going all the way back to 1877 with the Constitution of No Authority here on Michael
song.
Dean After Dark. I'm so happy, Stephanie, that you're going to be on this, on the Michael Dean After Dark.
You know, that's what they say in certain voiceover training people, you know, coaches that teach how to do voiceovers better.
Oh.
They will
people.
Say to lay down and put the microphone above your mouth and talk that way because it elevates your soft palate or something like that. It makes you sound more smooth. And I think I just noticed a difference in your voice.
That sounded good. We lost them.
Did we?
Them? Uh-oh.
Yeah, we'll have to vamp.
Are we still on the air?
Yeah. Hello.
I think so.
Hello.
We got you.
Hello. Hello. Please say the whole thing. It's Mr. Michael Dean. No, you didn't lose me. I was setting it up. That's just hogwash. That's what I was going to say. That's hogwash. People sound
about
better standing
down?
Up. Yeah, that's for lazy people. And anyone who teaches voiceover isn't very good at it because those who can do, those who can't teach. I've never had any voiceover training. I ignored all the vocal crap they tried to teach me in choir, all the warm-ups. And I probably do voiceover regularly that's heard by more people than most people who are trying to make a living at voiceover, except Stephanie Murphy, because she's on, she's popular and has a lot of people, you know, paying her to do stuff, but she's also on Free Talk Live, which is on about 50,000 radio stations. Now, you're on 140 radio stations now, and the Freedom Fiends are on 19. So there.
Yeah, I think the Freedom Fiends are doing awesome with that. And
well,
I have no vocal training
yeah.
either, by the way. I've totally self-taught nothing.
Charlie.
Is that a kitty?
Yes, it's Charlie.
Oh, that's adorable.
Oh,
he has no vocal training either, or she.
No, but she ends up on the radio more than most people that go to journalism school to be on the radio. Hey, do you remember that show News Radio, that comedy show in the 80s?
No.
Yes.
I loved it. It was great. It was Phil Hartman. Anyway, it was one of Phil Hartman's really square character who's like the, hi, I'm the guy who does the commanding voice. Someone was talking about like freedom and equality, and they're like, "Well, you've heard about the Emancipation Proclamation," and he's like, "No, I don't listen to rap music."
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back.
Just as soon as this drone is out of range.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Freedom. I was speaking into the wrong mic, because I'm untethered, I'm running around the house. I'm running. This is Mr. Michael Dean, proving you don't need great microphones to do radio. I've stepped away from my $600 RE20 mic, and I'm using a $99 SM58, a Stephanie Murphy 58 from Shure Microphones. And it is it's pretty much the mic that's on every stage of every rock singer club, rock musical group club in the world, and in every practice room. Oh, we got a caller here. Let's take this caller. Who is calling in? I don't know. Brad, can you see who that caller is? Do we know? I think Brad's talking to them and finding out who they are and what they want. So, yeah. Croatia. You ever been there, Stephanie?
No, not yet.
Yeah.
I have never been to Europe. I need to really do some more traveling because...
Either. Aren't you Polish or something? Aren't you old worldy? What's your
not
derivation?
That I really know of. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm a mutt. But, you know, I've been thinking about, like, if stuff gets really bad here in the U.S., like, it's really good to have an escape
plan.
You want to have a
a Croatian girlfriend you could go live with?
That would be nice, yeah. Any volunteers?
Yeah, I just made the introductions. So, yeah, the Freedom Fiends, bringing people together across the miles. That's what we do, man. It's all about love here.
Well, I seriously do want to travel a little bit more because, you know, I've been in grad school for the last 7 years or so and really haven't had a chance to go visit like South America or Asia or Europe, anywhere really, except New Hampshire. New Hampshire's great.
It's a big world out there. You know, Ian Freeman constantly gets on my case because I don't come to New Hampshire. First of all, I spent summers in New Hampshire like 10 years before Ian ever heard of New Hampshire. And the other thing is, I used to, my sister lived there. My sister was one of those people like laying down in the road at Seabrook, when they had the nuclear power plant, like one of the anti-nuclear protesters. Wow. Yeah. So
no kidding.
But the thing is like, Ian gets on my case about, you know, he's always like, oh, you coming to Pork Fest? You coming to Liberty Fest? I'm like, no, I'll call in, do a show from there. But I found out the other day, like Ian's never been out of America. Except like Mexico and Canada, which is America for the most part. Yeah. I've been all over the world, man. I've passed out in many a European country. I like it. Yeah. So, Stephanie.
What are your favorite European countries to pass out in?
I have very, very fond memories of Innsbruck, Austria, for some reason.
Okay.
It's not radio friendly, though. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Gotcha.
And I like Prague a lot. I like Berlin. Would you ever consider London, of all places.
Here's a Liberty question. Would you ever consider living in like, you know, Mexico or Panama or like go somewhere in South America?
Well,
learn to speak Spanish?
I'm not learning another language. I've tried. I actually, when my band Bomb went to Europe in 91, I went to the library and got cassette tapes for children to learn German. And tried to learn German, and I went over there and tried to speak German, and they just laugh at you and then speak better English than you can speak right back at you. In France, they'll pretend they don't speak English until you speak a little bad French improperly, and then they'll laugh at you and show you they can speak a little English in some, you know, conversationally. But Germans, most Germans under 45 or 50 at this point speak English with better grammar and more fluency than the average American.
But it's a thought that counts, right? Like if you try to speak someone else's language, that kind of shows them that you're at least trying, right?
And not an ugly American who thinks everyone should adopt to their ways. Oh, that's a thing, man. It's a thing and the world knows it. I mean, I got yelled at, you know, I was over in Europe traveling in like 2004 with my movie, DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist. And people were yelling at me because of the war in Iraq. And I'm like, hey, man, I didn't vote for anybody. And, I mean, do they really think that the guy traveling the train with a backpack is the one ordering where the missiles are dropped? Come on, man. It's an accident of birth.
But, Michael, you are the government.
I'm not. I didn't consent. I didn't vote for that. I didn't vote to be ruled. Did you vote to be ruled?
No.
I know.
That's my favorite line, my favorite pro-status line. You are the government.
Well, I've been looking for more feisty comebacks, although they never work because no one's going to use logic. But when people say, if you don't vote, you can't complain, the one I've come up with is only if you don't vote are you allowed to really complain.
George Carlin, I think, had a thing about that.
His was longer. Mine's bumper sticker. Right. Yeah. I knew who he was, but I didn't really like watch, you know, several hours of him doing stand-up until after he died. And he says a lot of things I say, and I'm not saying I stole it or he stole it or anything, just like he is of my same mold, man.
You know, the thing about the status speak and having a comeback chambered is that, you know, it pretty much doesn't matter what you say in so many contexts. And I've gotten to the point now where I don't even argue with people about, or I try not to argue with people about politics, because I know no matter what I say, most likely I'm not going to change their mind.
Yeah.
All I'm trying to get them to realize is that I would like to opt out opt out of their system. Hey, you guys want to raise the minimum wage to $500 an hour? Knock yourself out. Just leave me out of it. Let me have my own life. And stop collectivizing me.
There's always the, if you don't love America, if you're not happy with everything in America, move out. And the weird thing is a lot of people have been saying that forever are the people who are just going to be shocked at being having a lifetime of law-abidedness when guns are outlawed and they become felons. They're going to be like, I'm going to be like, do you still love America when they can do
it's
that to you?
It's almost a non sequitur, too. What does that even mean, get out? Does the U.S. government claim to own every square inch of the territory of the United States?
Yes, but they make it hard to get out these days, too. Like, if you want to leave to another country and move your assets, they take big chunks of your assets. And they also, unless you have Bitcoin, it'd be easier to do. But they also, like, you know, if you rescind your citizenship, which is not the same as renouncing your citizenship. Renouncing your citizenship is like an act of war, and it's punished. It's treason, and it's punishable by death.
It's a religious word, too, renouncing.
Right, I mean, but rescinding your citizenship is, you know, let's say you are moving to Switzerland. You're marrying a woman from Switzerland. You are becoming Swiss and moving your assets there, and you don't want to have dual citizenship, basically, because most people rescind that because in that situation these days, you still have to pay income tax in America, even if you never live here again.
Right. So, although you can get some exemptions, I think.
Yeah, but
wouldn't be
most people just rescind
Tina,
at that
Tina
point.
Turner moved to Switzerland. Yeah. She couldn't get the exemptions, right?
Yeah. Right. She rescinded her citizenship. I don't think she did that, but she doesn't need to. She's the kind of person that's so beloved and has the money to the point where she could just live as a guest in another country forever and, like, has teams of people paying her taxes to where she probably doesn't even know she's still paying taxes here. And has
Although she
income.
Would be the perfect person to make an example of because she's so high profile that
– And she's not – and there's nothing, like, controversial about her. She's just a great singer that everyone loves.
Right.
You know, it's not –
Were you guys following the Lauryn Hill thing? Where she didn't pay income taxes allegedly, she said she like compared it to modern day slavery she got sentenced.
But she also was surprised and said, "Why am I going to jail? I'm a good person," which I agree with. But it's also kind of like not facing reality, like
naive.
It's weird. Like I basically have thoughts that sovereign citizens have. I understand that, like. The government has no moral authority to own me, but I am not a sovereign citizen. I have no twisted belief that I could walk into a courtroom in the United States of America and say magic words and have them go, oh, I'm sorry. You are right. We do not own you. You're a free to leave, sir. That will not happen.
God bless them for what they do. Yeah. It's just what I'd like to tell the sovereign citizen people is just give it some time. I know you think that you're a free individual, but
it's magical thinking, man.
It's like Santa Claus
will protect me.
And there's, you know, all it takes is one person to succeed his whole life, and then they can point to that and go, "Oh, see,
he
look,
got out
no
of a traffic
guy.
Ticket."
And it's like,
and they
can't,
and they don't know about the other people who are facing, who are in prison for felonies because they don't talk to
Irwin Schiff. You know, it's rotten in a cage. Yeah.
Yep. So I guess to answer your question, Dr. Stephanie Murphy, my wife and I have discussed expatting of moving to another country in our retirement in a few 10 years or something. But for now, we're not pushing toward it. Like when we decided to get out of California, I did a bunch of actuarial research of comparing, you know, the freedom in the 50 states without even knowing that document existed at first and narrowed it down to 5 states. It was New Hampshire, Wyoming, West Virginia, Kentucky, and Washington State. Based on – this is before we even had guns, and this was based on taxes, low property costs, nice place to live, lower populations. And then I found out – then we got guns, and then I was frustrated that we couldn't take the guns out of the house in California, you know, on our person and carry them. It maddened me. I was like, there's criminals everywhere in California. People get hit over the head with baseball bats here all the time. And it frustrated me. And then I read Boston Tea Party's book, You and the Police – in one sitting, and I was like, open carry, what's that? And like 6 hours later, I woke my wife up early before half hour before she was going to get up and said, honey, we're moving to Wyoming. And 9 months later, we'd sold our house and we'd bought a house here. And that was not easy to do. It wasn't like, oh, well, I'll just move some millions around. It was a lot of work to be able to do that. And we did it and did it by the skin of our teeth. And I love it.
It is a lot of work. It's a huge amount of work and cool. That's a cool story.
Yeah, but other countries, I don't think I'd want to do it unless I were fabulously wealthy or if I were like famous and a dignitary to where like, you know, you know, President Hillary Clinton wants to have me droned and has said so in the State of the Union speech, and Croatia or Russia or, you know, Somalia says, the prince of Somalia says, hey, you can come live in my, you know, you and your wife come live here and do your radio show from here. I would need more protection to leave America at this point and move to another country. I don't think I'd want to do it as someone with my middle income. I think I'd want to, cause like in Mexico, if you can live really cheap, but you can also just get thrown in prison for not having enough money to bribe the federales, and it happens all the time. But if you're fabulously wealthy, like, you know, the people who do it and Jim they're Berwick. Stuck. Yeah. You know, you can do it right. You can even, and you can't own guns in those countries, but you can pay federales to be your armed guards, you know?
What I think is interesting.
Or you can buy a gun from the federales illegally.
One thing that is happening, at least in Honduras, is these startup cities, and they're making these economic zones where
free speech,
they just,
free of government zones, like no taxes.
Right, right.
So, Singapore,
you know,
basically is one.
People like us are probably not going to be able to buy into something like that. But hey, let some of the rich libertarians go there and try it out for a while and see what happens. Let them beta test this whole thing.
Keep holding on to those Bitcoins, guys.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, Bitcoin is
another. Buy Namecoin.
It's interesting about Bitcoin is that it really is breaking down borders. And what people don't realize about Bitcoin is there, whether you like market anarchy or not, you're participating in it if you own Bitcoin. And that's really just what we're advocating. Nothing more groundbreaking than that. And, you know, I totally agree with Stephanie. I think
Worms.
Bitcoin is going to
be back
across borders
with more about crossing borders of the mind and the body.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, Inoculation from Indoctrination. Learn more at freedomfiends.com. Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies!
Jesus.
On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
Freedom Fiends. This is Michael Dean. Not After Dark on the Freedom Fiends. So yeah, we got
Michael Dean before dark.
Yes, Michael Dean before dark. Michael Dean's been up so much after dark that he couldn't say that right and had to have Stephanie correct him with really simple, like, yeah, switch it around. Michael Dean before dark. Yeah. So I'm brain dead. I'm going to let you guys talk brain dead right now because I've been working on building the new roads of the information superhighway. Who's going to build the roads? Me and Jeremy. Jeremy and I. And everyone else.
I thought where we're going, we don't need roads.
No. Well, this is sort of a cross between a road and a car, what we're building. A road and a flying car. Kind of like, is Bitcoin money or is Bitcoin a new credit card system? It's kind of both, you know? So, Mike, read this thing about the EFF, the Electronic Freedom Electronic Frontier Foundation, who we, EFF.org, who the Freedom Fiends made a ad for free and got it played on a bunch of radio stations to educate people about them. And we're talking about the Patent Troll case. Read on, brother, read on.
Okay, so the rent-seeking company, patent-holding company
patent
that wants all podcasters to pay up is just looking for a fair shake, so they claim. The CEO and general counsel of Personal Audio LLC got on
the
phone.
They never did anything. They wrote some stuff down on paper of, wouldn't this be a good idea, and filed it with the government. And they are threatening me. They are threatening a gun to my head because
that's
I do a podcast.
That's right. They didn't even come up with the technology. Just bought it and put it in their portfolio. Well, they're saying that the
EFF... they bought it from someone who didn't even come up with it. They bought it from someone who scribbled it down, and it never happened. And the people who made podcasting had never heard of them or read their technical paper. So go on.
Right. Right. Oh. So
is this
these
just
rent
a
seekers,
lawsuit, or was this
no,
actually...
No, this is real. Like, this is like... You should know about this as a podcaster and radio person.
I mean, I do know about it. I just didn't think it would really hold any water. But like,
so what Texas, they're trying to do Texas is they're fault. Trying to go after the big people first. They're going after NBC, CBS, Fox, and also Adam Carolla. I think Adam Carolla has one of the most popular podcasts. And so they're saying that the EFF insinuates that the information we are seeking is not relevant to the Texas litigation. And what they're talking about is they want... they want to subpoena all the people who have donated to the EFF to help fight this. So there's like 1,300 donors out there.
Wow.
And this they're trying to get the names of these people, and they're going full
what,
hog.
What
and,
would that? How would that serve their case even?
I'm not sure. You know,
it's
we're
just
not
a
lawyers.
Scare tactic.
I mean, because it's not exactly. Like. You know, Metallica, who are also trolls, but they actually had, if there are property rights,
right.
Metallica had a case because it was their music being shared. We don't believe in that kind of property rights. We do believe in property rights, but not IP of stuff that when you copy it, it doesn't take away the original. It's not stealing. It's sharing. But Metallica sort of had a case in that realm, and they wanted the names of the IP addresses connected with everyone who downloaded their stuff. That kind of their thing kind of made sense, and that action kind of made sense. What this company is doing with podcasting, they had nothing to do with podcasting. They never did. They never will. And the thing they're asking for would have nothing to do with the case. DJ, are you trying to give me a legal opinion? You're trying to walk in here? Okay. go on.
But if somebody donated with Bitcoin, then they wouldn't be able to be subpoenaed.
Right.
As easily, right?
Although you have to remember, Bitcoin is not completely anonymous because you can...
Right,
you,
right. That's why I said
really,
as easily.
You have to be really careful to have it approach anonymity because the blockchain is public. Like if you know someone... I do this a lot for kicks. People mm-hmm. I know of or know, when I see their Bitcoin address and they're asking for donations, I go search on the blockchain and see how many Bitcoin have been donated to them.
Yep.
Just for kicks.
I do that too.
That's how I know that Ian Freeman is 750,000. No, he's probably not, but because he was using them way before anybody, and he's probably sold and gotten and traded a lot of them. And he bought stuff with them, and probably not when they were at $1,000 each. So, yeah. But good for him, man. He believed before anyone did. He was talking about Bitcoin so much that people were like, I like this show, but I'm sick of Bitcoin. And it's like, Ian did really well, and he's doing really well, and he deserves to do really well. And he's been able to hire counsel to like actually protect him when he does cool legal wranglings.
Oh, my understanding is that that attorney is a pro bono.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Nice. That's even
he
better.
Happened to find a good one.
That's the best kind of contribution, pro bono lawyer work. Well, you take Bitcoin, and what is your site there, Stephanie Murphy, where you do health stuff?
Well, my site, letstalkbitcoin.com. Go there.
Letstalkbitcoin.com. All right. Thank you, Dr. Murphy, and thank you, Mike Makes Right. It's been wonderful having you on the Freedom Fiends. Say worms, everyone. Worms.
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 Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Worms, 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 worms.